Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you please stand with me? I'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time. This is going to be a little different tonight. I'll need somebody's help. If you turn to James, first chapter, I'd like to entitle this message, God, Please Don't Bless Me, Unless. I believe there's a lot of people who have gotten themselves into a lot of trouble because of the blessings of God. You know, in the early 1900s, the United Pentecostals were the poorest looking churches, storefronts, didn't have much going for us. But as we worship God and we're obedient to His word, God naturally blessed us and blessed us to the point now where, you know, this is one of the finest looking churches in the area. God has blessed us. But then what? Then what? I drove out of the parking lot this morning and I was looking at car after car after car, and beautiful cars. Some cars that, most of the world can't afford, but God's given them to us. He's blessed us, folks. Israel moved into houses that they didn't build, wells they didn't dig. But then Moses warned them, look out. If you don't start giving God the glory for what you have, it'll be taken from you. James 1, verse number 12 said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know why God says don't make provision for the flesh? You know? Avoid the very appearance of evil. Because we are so weak in the flesh. We can be tempted through the lust of the flesh. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, it's not God that tempts us. Amen. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Touch it, anoint it, allow it to go forth unhindered. Let it accomplish exactly what you would have it to accomplish tonight, God. Change us through your word. Don't allow the word to come back void, but let it rest in our hearts and be a part of us. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Would you also turn to Psalms 24? Verse number 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I've, over the years, said over and over again, the most important thing that we can have is a clean heart. A clean heart. Make sure we're living for God. And God will make sure that we have all of the advantages that are in this book, all of them. He will bless us and bless us and bless us. But there's something about having clean hands, being righteous before the Lord. It said, blessed or supremely blessed, fortunate, well off is the man that endureth temptation. And the word temptation means a putting to proof by an experiment of good. So what God is saying, I'm going to bless you that endure the temptation that is really an experiment of good to see what you will do when I give you what you want. The blessings of God are also an experiment of good. Or many times a test of our discipline. Can God trust us with a good gift from above? Can he really give us what he wants to give us? And still, will we stay saved? Will we stay true? Will our hands be clean? Because unfortunately, with every good gift comes a temptation not to serve God. Many blessings are tests of our spiritual character. And as much as God wants to give us all of the things that will make us happy, he knows us better than we know us. And sometimes he's afraid to give us certain things because he'll lose us. You parents, don't spoil your kids, because if they don't earn what they get and see the value of it, one day they won't care about the things that are valuable. More people backslide because of blessings than difficulties. Problems keep us close to God. Blessings will sometimes take us a long ways from God. You know, there's a plant called the Venus flytrap that has this wonderful fragrance, and it causes flies and other insects to land on it. And before you know it, it's a carnivorous plant. There's a pitcher plant attracts insects by its nectar inside its lips, and it tempts them to come in, and then they're swallowed up. When is a blessing not a blessing? When it takes you away from God. Amen. It's so much easier to tithe on $10,000 than it is on $100,000. Isn't that amazing? Right. Some people who make very little have no problem. But all of a sudden, when God starts to bless, and he can, because money to God is absolutely nothing except an experience in good or an experiment in good. Now, okay, I'm going to give you a little more. Are you going to do something with it? Or are you now going to hold back from me? Do you see God's logic? Amen. Let's turn to Malachi. Don't get frightened. Amen. We'll be all right here. Turn to Malachi, the third chapter. Verse number 7, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now, you can't give offerings unless you give tithes. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all of the tithes into the storehouse. Well, where's the storehouse? Do we make a decision where we... No, it's a place that you get your spiritual food. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, open the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing. That there shall not be room enough in order to receive it. I mean, for 10% of what we make, wouldn't it be great that the windows of heaven would be open and God would just pour out a blessing? I don't have enough room. God, I got to buy another safe. Verse 11, this is even more important. and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Man, I wonder how many people drive by this church and say, wow, what is going on there? I tell you what, we're obedient to the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. How many think that intelligence is a blessing? I wouldn't know. I heard it is. 1 Corinthians 1 and 26 says, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So when is intelligence not a blessing? When it keeps you from God. Well, I'm just too smart for that. You got to be kidding. You go to church, what? Some people can't get saved because they're just too intellectual. And perhaps some can't stay saved because of their intellect. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There are a lot of people who have degrees on their walls and positions and honor and money in the bank, and everyone looks up to them, and the possibility of them getting saved. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. I've gotten an invitation. I said a couple of weeks ago that in a week or so, I'm invited to Helen Leopold Johnson's house, the heir of the Johnson fortune. And it's a little get-together for Governor Walker. I don't know why I was invited, but you know what? Maybe there's somebody. Maybe there's somebody. I'm saying, God, this is not my element, but if there's a possibility that I could talk to somebody that I ordinarily would not rub elbows with, hallelujah. Maybe they're just too intellectual, but somehow God needs to reach them. Thank God that I was not too intelligent in order to get saved or to stay saved. Like Brother Portman said this morning, we make things too complicated when it's so simple. Amen. Titus 3 and 9 says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Sometimes we worship brains when we should worship simplicity and obedience. Amen. How many know that a pretty face is a blessing to God? Oh, thank God that you don't have a face that people run to or run away from, you know? The Bible says that Jesus, well, there was nothing about him that would cause people to be attracted to him. Does he understand the importance? Glory to God. Some people can't get saved because they're just too pretty. And some can't stay saved because they're just too good looking. Too many temptations that ugly people just don't have to deal with. Glory to God. I'm still looking for ugly pills for my granddaughter because I know she's going to have problems down the road. When's a blessing not a blessing? When we can't serve God because of the blessing. Most of us can say, thank God, I'm just not that good looking, you know, not that outstanding. I would say that having talent would be a real blessing. I know more people who aren't serving God because they were gifted in talents. I know preachers that are just too good in oratory that they couldn't just be confined to the UPC. They had to go out into the world to share their great abilities, teachers, musicians, organizational skills. Then those who struggle for everything that they get are the ones that God blesses. You see, with the blessing of talents comes temptation to use it for your glory instead of the glory of God. and leave God. Do you know that Elvis Presley got his career singing in a church? But how could I just be contained with such talent in a church, you know? Let's take it out. How about Amy Grant? Was a wonderful, baptized in Jesus' name. But eventually she got just too much publicity, too much talent, too much money. She left. Lanny Wolfe, one of the greatest of composers and musicians within our ranks, but then left. Mark Hamby, I don't know of anybody who ever preached a better message under a greater anointing than Mark Hamby, but well, then he just got too many accolades and left the organization, left the truth, and now struggles. Oh, God has blessed me with a good job, or God has blessed my business. I know what it does. I know what it can do. I know what it does to the mind and the spirit. New choices that you never had before. More options than you've ever had before. Church or job? Church or job? Choices we didn't have to make before the blessing. When is a blessing not a blessing? When you find yourself spending less time with God and more time with the blessing than with God. Oh, hallelujah. Brand new car. Now I can leave. I'm retired. Now I don't have any obligations. Oh, no, your obligations haven't changed with God. Amen. New freedoms because I have new money. Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Turn to Psalms 34, please. Psalm 34, verse number 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want. That can't be right. There is no want to them that fear him. Philippians 4 and 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. All your needs. Psalms 84 says, no good thing would he withhold to them that walk uprightly. Amen. Clean hands opens a door for blessings. And sometimes the blessings close the door for clean hands. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 9. First Samuel 9 and verse number 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So this Saul guy, good looking. Tall, dark, and handsome. And you know what? God didn't pick him. The people picked him. We want somebody that looks like a king, you know? Paul, if you were to see Paul, based on tradition, he was short, bald, I'm in good company. His eyes were somewhat close together. His nose was long. According to tradition, he was a little bit hunched over. And if you were to look for an evangelist, you probably wouldn't pick him, but the Spirit of God was over the man, you see. And that's what made the difference. Then 1 Samuel 15, verse number 16, we see what happens to this goodly young man who was taller than anybody else. Verse number 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. But he didn't do it. David said, Lord, don't give me too much that I stray from you, nor too little that I might steal. He knew that there was a temptation in both areas, you see, yet his greatest trial was when he was most blessed, not when he was running from Saul, but when he became king. When he became king and all of these things were at his access, then all of a sudden there was temptations. Let's turn to 1 Kings, the third chapter. First Kings 3 and verse number 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him the great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing that and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemy, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt, and if thou wilt, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offerings, peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O my Lord, and I and this woman dwelt in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. And we were gathered, were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And the rest of the story, you know, the wisdom of discerning between the one who lied and the one who was telling the truth. Cut the baby in two. No, I'm sorry, it's your baby. You see, all because if you'll walk in my statutes. Solomon's downfall was not when the Lord made him a king. His downfall was when he became king in his own sight. When we get to the place where we think we're somebody. There was a time when Israel had no king, and the Bible said everyone was king in their own sight. God wants to bless those who can handle it, those who are little in their own sight, and then it seems like you hear the windows of heaven cranking open, and God blesses. But if for some reason we think it's our intellect, it's because we're a little better looking. We work a little harder. Nothing wrong with intellect. working hard. But I'll tell you, if it's something that we think we've gotten on our own, shut the window. With a blessing, there's a risk of losing out with God. God, please don't bless me if it's going to take me away from God. If we understand the principles, then God's free to bless. That's what I'm trying to convey tonight. If you understand the principle, nothing wrong with blessing. Nothing wrong with having God open the windows and pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to contain. But what's that blessing going to do in your life? Amen. What has it done for this church? Years ago, in my ignorance, I would ask God to give great success in my business. And thank God the rain came moderately. I've said this before. I remember being in a restaurant with an evangelist and told him where I came from before I started pastoring God wouldn't allow the businesses that I had to really be very, very successful. And God spoke to him instantly and said, if ye had done that, I would never have submitted to pastoring. Never. God knows exactly what you need and what you don't need, church. What you don't need. It could be a blessing where you're at right now. It could be a blessing that you're in an old car. I'm serious. It could be a blessing. It could be a blessing that you don't have enough money to move across the other side of town because God wants you in a certain area for certain people. Amen. Now that I'm mature, I'm asking God to give me millions of dollars. Somehow, the bottom line is we've got to get to heaven. And what we have accumulated here isn't going to make a whole lot of difference. Amen. It's not going to make a whole lot of difference. Those people who have millions of dollars, what are they going to do with it that we don't have freedom to do right now? Amen. Glory to God. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter. First John chapter 4 and verse number 4, quoted all the time. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you. So how badly do you want to make it to heaven? How badly is your destination with God? Well, first, we have to be determined that we're going to make it all of the way, regardless of what roadblocks, regardless of inconsiderate people, regardless of circumstances within our life. But we also must recognize that we are just passing through this world. We're not staying here forever. These are just temporary houses, and we can't take it that serious, folks. We are strangers and pilgrims passing through the land. That's what the Bible says. And there are a lot of odd people here trying to keep us in the land of Oz. Beam me up, Jesus, because there's no intelligent life down here. Take me up, God. Do you remember that old story of the Wizard of Oz? You know? I mean, that was really a strange situation. If we follow the leading of the Spirit, then we're going to be on the same journey as little Dorothy. Dorothy of the Wizard of Oz, what a parallel of our walk with God. Caught up in a whirlwind, storm, mighty rushing wind, found herself in a distant land surrounded by strange people. We are pilgrims and strangers in this land. She was told to follow a yellow brick road, and Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The ugly witch of the east wanted the power that she had on her feet, and And Ephesians 6 and 15 says, your feet shall be shod with the preparation of the gospel. And they're trying to take our shoes from us. The witch melted after she was covered with water. Glory to God. Can't come at me. Dorothy was not the first person to find herself surrounded by brainless, heartless, spineless people. We're on the way to heaven. You got to stay on the path. You got to stay on the yellow brick road. You get off the yellow brick road, and you're going to find even odder people. She was on her way to the Emerald City, and we're on our way to heaven to get some help, to get some answers. We've got to go to the one who has the wisdom. The scarecrow wanted wisdom. The tin man wanted a heart. The lion needed courage. They all four trembled in the presence of the wizard in order to get the things that they needed, in order to get to the Emerald City. You're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. We're in a different land than where we were, and we were all taken up by a whirlwind of the Holy Ghost, and it put us on a path that we didn't understand. And the answer is that he will help as soon as we overcome the source of evil. The scarecrow, he displayed wisdom. The tin man, compassion or heart. The lion, courage. And how does Dorothy escape this strange world? She rises up in a hot balloon as they sing "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." I don't know what I'll be singing, but I'm going to get out of here in a hot air balloon. We're going up in the rapture. I told you this would be deep. It's nice to have friends to help us. We're a support group, is what we are. We meet all the time in order to support. I'm going to live for God. You're going to live for God. Come on, we're going to live for God. We need each other. But in the end, it's up to each of us to find our own way home. You can't blame somebody because they didn't call you enough or take you by the hand or nobody took me to the altar or, you know, I didn't get what everybody else got. The moral of the story is everything you need to get home, you already have. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. First Peter 2 and verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I was reading yesterday that the Bible says in Daniel that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and God sent an angel to close the mouths of the lions. And then what it says is, because of my innocency. God wants to step forward and take care of our problems if we will not react to them, but keep our hands clean and innocent you're going to find God is going to send some angels to close the mouths of those that you couldn't close in the first place. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 3. I'm sorry, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Do you see the city? If we're mindful of where we came out of, we'll have an occasion to go back. If we are going to make it home, we need the help from an all-wise God. Amen. We need help from the inside out. Help is on the inside. Help is not on the outside. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The power that worketh continually in us, not near us, above us, around us, the power that worketh in us, it's not his philosophy, his wisdom, his angels, but it is God. Amen. It is God. Amen. I read about a six-year-old who just got the Holy Ghost, and the scripture was given, greater is he that is in you. You now have the Holy Ghost in you. And he's thinking, God, are you in there? And then he says, yes, I am. Sometimes you have to answer for God. Sometimes we as adults need to understand, yes, I am in you. Glory to God. Maybe we should be asking the same question. God, you don't have to reach out to God. You don't have to call him in. You don't have to get his attention. You always have the attention of God. God is living in us. It wasn't enough for him to appear in a burning bush or to dwell in a beautiful temple or to become human flesh. He went further. He took up residency in us. Amen. Greater is he that is in us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple or shrine, a container for sacred things of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? Because he has taken up residency in us, he owns us. We're just kind of renting this space. God wants us to make it home so bad that he's put a homing device within us. Really. And if you're sensitive at all to the Holy Ghost, you'll know where to go and where not to go. What to do and what not to do. Because it's God's Spirit within us that's directing us. There is a constant signal to do right and put us on the right path. Get me home. Take me to God. The world says, look inside yourself to find yourself. And God says, look inside yourself to find God. Amen. One might get you to Kansas, but the other one will get you all the way to heaven. I just want to stay on the right path. I want to be blessed by God, but I don't want to be taken away from God because of the blessings. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please?